Good evening, everybody. Welcome to a very special Big Footy Tiger Car show on the Monday night. It is the round one mock draft special, I think we'll call it that. But full house tonight, full house, which is very, very good. Always exciting to see. Welcome to everybody in chat as well. But we'll go around the room. Grok, welcome back, mate. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going well. Good to be back. I'm excited to discuss some potential draft news. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Very good. And CB, good to have you on board.
Yeah, pleasure. Pleasure. My plan's changed. So all of a sudden I've become available. So lovely to be here. Lovely to see everyone. Cameron looks fantastic. I really like his number here.
We've got him under a witness protection scheme at the moment. That's why we can't see him. So,
EJ's prison cell.
Yeah. Yeah, he's behind EJ.
The main question though, Stephen, have you got the bathrobes ready?
Oh,
yeah, we do need not a bathrobe.
The lubricant, yes. Bathrobes, no. I found some cheap stuff in it from America, secondhand. You know, going very cheap.
No.
James Racing's going to be very disappointed. No robe. He's been talking about it all week.
I was looking for a robe or a dressing gown, but I just didn't have one. And EJ, welcome to you. Now, I know we want to see your lovely face, but I do think to get full appreciation of what you've whipped up, you have to sort of remove yourself from camera. Have a look at EJ's background, folks, and just acknowledge the work that and the craftsmanship that's been put into that. That is an exceptional background. I might even pinch that off you to tweet out later on, I reckon. That is an absolute ripper.
No worries.
That is very, very good. And then, of course, welcome to Cameron. Cameron Hicks is in the house. He is involved in the, I suppose, the football industry. So, Cam, welcome, mate. Hope you're doing well.
No, cheers. Thanks for having me. Means a lot to sort of be on here after a year of waiting, I guess.
Yeah, exactly right. And I suppose it's kind of, I guess, come about on the back of you obviously accurately picked Kane McAuliffe as our first pick last year, which would have been, I don't know, I suppose quite difficult to do given how late the pick was. But
yeah. He was a sort of a late bloomer that came up really, really late. So just really good interviews and club sort of pre-committed to him because his range was sort of 50-50 at that point, like whether he was even going to get picked up. So,
and just for those at home, yes, he's a Tiger supporter, Kylie, first and foremost, but did you just want to give a little bit of background as to what you do in this space when it comes to identifying talent?
So pretty much just do talent ID sort of business. Like, so that would be writing reports and players and then sending them to the necessary partners. So whether that's their junior clubs or even their AFL clubs, VFL clubs, sort of wherever that needs to be sent off to. So that's sort of a brief rundown on, yeah.
Very good. And now you will notice, folks, that Cameron's camera is deliberately not on. He does want to keep some to be a little bit anonymous. Otherwise, he will be harassed greatly by people at the games he is at, mainly from parents of their upcoming superstar kids who think they're all the next Gary Ablett Jr., which I'm sure...
Yeah, especially with some of the hate comments I do get as well. It's a bit of a, target, so...
No, that's, yeah. Oh, well, it's their loss. But I think the first question I want to start with is obviously mock drafts are a thing that we read a lot about, whether it's on Big Footy or I think ESPN do a couple as well. How many versions of a mock draft are you up to? And I suppose one of the questions a lot of people ask is people, you know, in the media that will publish what they who they think is going pick number one and two, and then the next week it will change, the next week it will change again. What kind of things are trigger points that would mean those kind of plays would swap around? Like, what kind of things would you look out for?
Genuinely, being honest, would be the interviews. Like, you have 100 of them a year, but each one means so much because you sort of go into different sort of details as the year goes on when you sort of talk about their routine, what they feel like during the year, how they progress, how they think their progression's going. And when you sort of go into detail and their answer is really important, like you sort of get, they do video recordings, so that gets sent out to a bunch of people and they sort of just evaluate through that. And if they're sort of half-ass answers, shitty attitudes, you know what I mean, they would just go, nah.
So that can be enough to swing someone from a pick one to a pick three or four in the club's eyes, depending on what.
For sure, for sure.
And how, AJ? Yep.
sorry, I'm going to be mainly on mute because I just want to hear Cameron talk. Just along those lines, I know this, that Melbourne Storm, their interview process, they have a particular couple of questions they ask, and if you don't answer those questions correctly, you don't go any further.
I think each club would have their own sort of unique sort of questions that they would want to ask. Like, they would have sort of just, and then you also saw they sort of go into reference, so each school teachers and then even parents, emergency contacts, that's all been given to Talents League clubs. And then they would get a reference without knowledge to say, is he a good kid? What's he like? Who does he hang out with? Sort of things like that as well.
And what about the combine testing results? How much do they then factor in to, I suppose, the rankings towards the pointy end of the draft season?
I'll be honest, it's more of a fancy contest. Like, it doesn't really do much unless if you blow away expectation. There's nothing much that changes because that's all sort of known. If you're slow, you're going to expect a slower score. Unless you completely blow away an expectation, nothing really changes.
Okay, so that's interesting. I suppose if they're watching enough football, they'll know what the traits are they're looking for anyway.
Yeah, I've always said that they should have more football-based skills. So if there's questions about his kicking and then they blow away expectations through their kicking, like, that would do more benefits than running a 20-metre sprint. Like,
yeah. Is it fair to say that clubs have kind of swung around to now drafting footballers as opposed to athletes, backing themselves into to give them the athletic traits they need to be a good footballer?
Pretty much. That's as spot on as it gets.
Okay, because I remember for a long time it was probably the other way around. So, all right, with that said, we'll get into your mock draft. So we are going to do it in reverse order to keep, I suppose, to keep the suspense for pick number one, and also because I acknowledge that some people join the broadcast a little bit later and will probably want to hear who the higher-end picks are. So you have got it starting from, we've got from pick 1 to 26 for the end of the first round. So I suppose, yeah, feel free whenever you're ready to take us through. We'll do them in blocks of 10, I guess. Oh, no. So go from 26 to 20, and then we'll
ask a question. Blair said he's not a fan of splitting, combining two picks to get pick 2 from North. What's your take on that? Because that will impact your mock draft to a degree, possibly. Do you think we will split it?
No, I think we keep both picks.
So he has, without spoiling, he has included what his thought is. So pick 2 in his mock draft is not North Melbourne. It is another club, but it's not us.
Ooh, okay.
Not us. Yes. Ooh. So, all right. So, Cam, when you're ready, go through from picks 26 to 20, and then we'll reevaluate after that.
You could go through the 10, and then I can just go through each player if you want. If you want to do it.
Okay. So, pick 26 is actually Richmond, ironically. Who have you got for us at pick 26?
So Lockie Jack's a sort of rebounding defender from the Geelong Falcons.
So he's 184 centimetres, yep.
Yep, so 184 centimetres, and I've got some of his strengths. He's rebounding, kicking, he's mainly his intercept marking. He's some of his biggest strengths, and also his consistency as well. Quite a quick player, he averaged 22 possessions from clear memory, and his kicking is just incredible. Like, he can hit a target with his eyes closed. Like, I think Rock's nodding his head there as well. Like, he's incredible off the halfback line, and I think with the way we want to play, kicking's going to be a major play, especially from the back half of the ground as well. So if we can have those elite kicks, which I think we want as well, like Lockie Jacks is up there in players we've interviewed as well. So I think he could legit be a lock for us, whether that's 26, 25, whatever, how many picks we have, too much to count.
I should have qualified this as well, that the reason why it's 26 is we do have two academy bid selections in amongst this first round. So that was our pick 24 that's pushed out to 26. And in terms of, if anyone wants to look him up, spelling of the surname, Cam's got it as J-A-Q-U-E-S.
Yeah, so that one got me for a while, forgetting the C, excluding the C.
Pick 25 would be for the Sydney Swans. Who have you got there?
That's Matt Whitlock from the Murray Bush Rangers. I think their fight was their forward presence, their key position presence in the granny was a big issue. I think that was quite obvious. And Logan McDonald and John Lamardi aren't going to cut it. So gone the Matt Whitlock pick as well, because he's raw. You need those talents. And I think he's got really good. Many people think he's raw, but I think he can come in day one, play a good role. So
I think that's a good call, because I think a lot of us identified their key forwards as their weakness. So I reckon that's not a bad pick for them.
I think they should have let Logan McDonald leave. To be honest, they would have got those three first round picks like no tomorrow. So
yeah. All right, pick 24. We've got to the GWS Giants.
That's Tom Gross. He's a sort of hard on your sleeve type of player. Sort of plays a mixed role between the mid sort of forward line as well. And he's just a kid that you can rely on. You sort of think GWS need a few of those tough runners, tough grit sort of players now with the exodus of players that they've had leaving the club as well. I think Perryman was one of those players you could rely on week after week. And Tom Gross, I think, is definitely one of those you can. You can play him, again, day one. His two-way running's elite. Oppa's a really good kick and go forward as well. You can play him anywhere as well. That's one of the big benefits from him. You can play him off the halfback, mid. And, he's a good second goal snag as well.
Sounds like a handy pick if he gets to him. Pick 23 is Richmond again. Who have you got here? I haven't heard this name before, so this is interesting.
He's a ruckman, sort of more of a hybrid sort of ruckman, sort of that more agile sort of ruckman. Sort of more agility, contested marking, kicking sort of ruck. So he's that sort of, I would even say like that sort of Nate Curvis replacement. You can reliably, chuck him down back. You can take a good mark. And he's also a good goal kicker. Like, you normally know ruckmans can't kick a goal for shit, but he's a pretty good kick. Like, he can kick a 50-metre kick, a goal.
And what was the name again? I think we missed the name.
Kaylee Geren. It's a name that always gets me.
Kaylee Geren. G-E-R-R-E-Y-N.
From, West Perth.
199 centimetres. Yeah. Okay, from West Perth.
Yeah, I think he's definitely grown, by the way. Yeah.
So, as in, your 199 might not be the latest height?
I think he would be in that 200 bracket now.
Okay. All right, well, yeah, Ruckman, it's interesting because we've obviously got Samson Ryan, who we've extended a contract for, but it's no secret that we are maybe a little bit light on for Ruckman down the track. Pick 22 to the Swans.
Yeah, so I'm Jack Whitlock, so the Whitlock twins. Both heading to Sydney. I think that's the best situation for them if they can get both brothers up there. Jack can go forward and Matt's the one that goes down back.
Right.
Jack's the more raw brother, but definitely has the better upside. Like, his hands are incredible. But, yeah, his biggest problems is his actual production up forward. There's a lot of times he actually does go missing. He sort of has those purple patches where he goes berserk, kicks three goals in 5 minutes, 6-7 minutes, and then you don't really see him for a quarter or two. So I think once he builds that sort of consistency into his game, it could be a really good pick. So it's a risk, but if you can get the reward out of it, it will be a major win.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. Pick 21 that we've got for Richmond.
Yeah, so in... For Richmond, I have Job Shanahan. For me, he's my favorite, the best key forward. Because mainly what he's done at VFL level, he's kicked bags of four multiple times for Essendon. And I think he just has that ability to come in straight away. He's more on the smaller frame, I think, if I remember, he's 193 or 94. More lightweighted as well, so he'll take some time to build his body. But once he gets that right, I think in my archetypes as well, I have him as an aerial class.
You do, yep.
Yep, so you put it up to him, he'll take it. Like, it's like he's got glue in his hands. But...
A lot of people seem happy with that selection. A few people saying he was their favourite forward also in the draft. which is interesting. And then pick 20 we've got for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, so I've got an interesting pick for them. I went Harrison Oliver. He would be one of the sliders because just he doesn't really offer anything unique. He just does everything well, if you know what I mean. He would be like the Archie Roberts of last year. He would be top 20, 30 ranks, but could even drop to 40, 50 because he doesn't really offer anything different. But like his kicking, his reading of the play, his toughness, vision, work rate. And I believe the Sandy Dragons coach called him the heartbeat of the team. So he could easily come in and be that Bailey Smith replacement on the wing. He's a good runner. He's a good ball getter as well. Really good user of it. Would be a player Bevo would really like, I reckon.
All right, so that is the first handful of picks. I'll open it up to the Grok, EJ, and CB. Any questions or comments from that? So while you think of them and unmute yourselves if you want, I'll recap the Richmond picks. So we've got Lockie Jakes at pick 26, Kale Guerin at pick 23, who's a ruckman, and Jobe Shanahan at pick 21, a key forward.
Yeah, Cameron mentioned as I was nodding that I really like the Jakes pick. Like he, given that we've lost Rioli Shorts coming to the end, like for him, like I think he's the perfect replacement to come in straight from them. And outside of probably Toby Trevallia, I think he's probably the best halfback rebounder in the draft. So yeah, I'd be stoked if we can nail him.
We're picking up someone from the Bulldogs, Michaels.
Yeah, in the background, I know. Someone must be walking their dogs with daylight savings and she's just going berserk. Apologies. Right.
My question is with the Shanahan pick, 194, so he's not the biggest. So if you were to describe who he plays like, Cameron, from who's in the league now, who does he play like?
I would say he's everything you see in Josh Tracy, to be honest. Like, I've had him down as Josh Tracy 2.0 for a while. I think pretty identical. He'll take his time, but once he sort of gets that season, gets that consistency, like you'll see him kick 35, 40 plus.
CB,
I find it fascinating that we take a ruckman and a key forward that late, because I've got a serious man crush on a forward for our third pick the other way. Mm-hmm. Around about 9 or 10. So I'm curious to see how many talls, what the mix is coming on down the line for where we go with this. So I'm intrigued.
All right, we'll get stuck into the next batch. So we've got pick 19 with Brisbane Lions, which I believe is a bid pick.
Yeah, that's a bid for Sam Marshall, one of their academy players. I think he would have been perfect for what we're looking for. Like I would have heavily considered him with one of our picks, but obviously he's tied away. He's just that elite runner. Like, he's a really good runner, really good kick, two-way running. He'll be a player that easily slots into that Brisbane team. Like, he'll be that sort of him and Jasper Fletcher will occupy those wings for the next 15 years. So they've got a real good dynasty being set up.
Hate to hear that after they've just won a flag. GWS, they've got the next two picks. They've got 18 and 17.
Yeah, so I've gone sort of two hybrids in. So I've got Taj Houghton and Cooper Haynes. So Taj Houghton obviously did his knee 3 games in, but he would have been top 3, top 5 easy if he continued. He's sort of that clean hand, sort of goes forward, kicks goals, speed, burst, sort of what you see in sort of Chad Warner sort of thing. He can just play the game so well, but his injury is what's sort of making people look away from him because obviously going down with a knee is pretty big.
Yeah.
And then sort of Cooper Haynes is, I would say, probably more Dusty-like than Sam Lehler, to be honest, because he's more weak in the air, sort of not the best overhead, but everything he does out of the middle is pretty much similar to what Dusty would have done.
We've got pick 16, Port Adelaide.
Yes, I went Xavier Lindsay, mainly because he's just will replicate what Dan Houston did for them. left foot kick as accurate as a kick there is. It's a really consistent play, won the Morris medal. Just was just super consistent. Like, there's nothing bad you can say about him, to be honest, because he's just a super humble person as well. Like you see the interviews that he's done. When he won the medal, he would credit his teammates more than himself. So I think that's just a really good character that you get as well.
We've got West Coast with
pick 15. For West Coast, I went sort of a homegrown player for them in Bo Allen. He's going to be that sort of leader that they're looking for, I think. He's explosive, really good in the contested ball, really good physically as well. He's a really big body, but he knows how to sort of use it. And his decision-making around goal is also really clever. Like you said, a few games for Peel Thunder, especially in the finals, his ability around goal is really Dangerfield sort of esque. I know that's not going to go well, but his ability around goal is just incredible as well. So I think he's one of the safe picks as well, if you want someone that you know is going to be ready and has the ceiling as well.
Now, was there meant to be a Freo pick somewhere in amongst that? So I think they've got 14. I reckon they've got, I think they've got 14. Is that correct, Jens?
If that's an error on my part, then I apologise, but it should be right.
I think they've got 14, 30 and something else. That's right. We'll push on to the next one. And I think there was an 18. Was there pick 18 for, I think pick 18 is meant to be ours, or was that the one that pushed out the 21?
That's what's been pushed out.
Yes, that's pushed out because of previous academy bids.
Yeah.
So the next one is you've got pick 14 as Richmond.
Yeah, so I went a bit different. I went Joe Berry. I think we need that sort of crafty forward. I think people may not agree, but I think we need that sort of crafty small forward who's really consistent at hitting the goals. There's just been, I think, multiple games where he's kicked 2-3 goals and then he's gone into the midfield and racked up multiple touches. Really good with his hands, finishing, his scoreboard impact, his smarts as well around the ball. And his work rate's really, really good as well. But one thing I have noticed about him is that he goes really quiet in the clutch. So mainly around those fourth quarters, he gets sort of tagged out of it, sort of pushed out, and he becomes a bit lazy then. But I think if he can snap out of that, he would be like that Tom Papley sort of small forward that I think we'd be looking for, to be honest. Like, it'd be a bit of a different pick, but we have so many. So why not go a bit bold on one of them?
Saw a few eyebrows raised there on the screens. Grok, EJCB, you happy with the potential Berry pick?
On talent, yes. But as Cameron said, some people are going to like the pick, some are not. I'm in the camp of if we think that he's the best available player, yes, but in terms of overall needs for the list management, I think a small four was probably not high on our priority list.
Fair enough. Next pick we had was pick 13 for Essendon, which would be a bid, I believe.
The Keiko bid. So that sort of better small forward, the more traditional small forward, X factor, sort of speed, tackling, and goals. I think he's just everything you want in a small forward. He brings that sort of log character as well, which I think you've seen with Nick Watson has sort of became sort of trend now, sort of a need. You sort of want those characters now. And I think it's the perfect time for Essendon. They need someone who can take the X factor off Zach Merritt sometimes and just cause panic. Like, that's what he does. He causes issues for teams. And his just speed is just incredible to see. And how quickly he gets to you and chasing down tackles. And yeah, that's what I was also going to mention. His two-way running is incredible. Like, a lot of the small forwards just sit back and think, oh yeah, the half forward's got that, the mid's got that, but he chases. And I think he'd be perfect for what Essendon are looking for.
Sounds like a lot of people would like to have him in their side. Pick 12 for Richmond.
I went Toby Trivaglia. So I've always said he's sort of Will Build Day 2.0 as well. I think just the utility that he offers, like the versatility he can offer, is just super unique. He's running, he's defensive work, his offensive work. He would put his team on the back if he could. He's a good leader as well. Good kick. In the VFL, though, he'd sort of get bodied out of it. So he's strength-wise, he's a bit sort of not there yet to compete in the midfield. But I think a half-back line is where he could get started and then sort of progress and progress.
Now, a few people have just asked me about the pick 10 and 11. So just to explain how it's kind of worked. So in theory, Richmond's pick 11, well, there's another academy bid beforehand, but let's say Richmond pick Toby, and then on our next pick, or sorry, on that pick, we might have do a bid. So that's why our picks end up being split, because Essendon then come in over the top and redeem their points. So that's why those two aren't, in theory, back-to-back. But Grok, I could see, and EJ, I could see nodding your head very, very happily about the pick, possible pick of Toby.
Yeah, as I mentioned with the Jacks pick, like, Trivaglia for me is the best rebounding halfback in the league right now in the draft. So to pair him with Jacks at halfback, that's our Rioli and Short sorted for the next decade. Like, they're going to be very, very good. Very good.
All right. Then we've got pick 11 for Melbourne.
Yeah, so I've done Murphy Reid. I think they're, from what I've seen, they're going from just best available. And I think Murphy Reid would be that pick. He's sort of that midfielder, sort of that outside midfielder that runs. So he would be on the other wing of Ed Langdon, really can drop into the mid, great by hand, like really, really good by hand. He's got really good class as well. Like, he's some of the side steps he does, the composure he offers as well. He's really, really, it's like actually quite good. And his marking as well, overhead, he's one of the best for the mids. He's not the quickest, but his running is what's different. Like, he would be the difference between winning a game and not, because he could run the whole game. I think he's done that before a few times as well. He's not had a stint on the bench. So he's just got that running capability as well.
Pick 10 for Gold Coast, which is a bid pick.
Yeah, so Leonardo Lombard. So I think he's a player that Hardcore love, like, will love. Sort of that hardworking midfielder, runs all day, explosive, strong, just competitive. He'll get in the opponent's face. He starts a couple tussles or fight and fights with the opponents. He's just a really competitive kid. But he sort of, he doesn't take any offense to it. He just says that's what he does to get himself involved into the games. Like, he's actually a really humble person. He's just like out there on the field to sort of get himself involved. And you can't hate that, because that's what gives him the edge on other mids and gets in their heads early. And you've spoken to other mids that have played on him. He said it does affect them. He would push, shove, tickle, just does everything he can to sort of play mind games with him. With them.
Just an old school footballer.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, and I suppose that play a little bit of a part in Gold Coast handing back pick 23 in the Rioli trade, because it kind of helps them a little bit using later picks and points, I suppose, because we flick something back. So, yeah, I suppose that's why it played out there. Now, the next two picks, I think, will explain what you've done here. So, in relation to the pick two scenario, it's how it ties in. You've actually projected that St Kilda will trade with North Melbourne pick two. So you've projected that they'll give up 8 and 9 and get North Melbourne's pick two. So the next two picks are going to be for North Melbourne, where they would have initially been St Kilda.
Yep. So I've gone different in this range. So I've gone to Harvey Langford for them. I think if they don't need a Jagger sort of type midfielder, they need sort of that hard body, sort of rough, consistent, sort of just big body that's willing to do the hard work in the midfield. And that's what Harvey Langford sort of brings. He's kicking, his scoreboard impact, his size, his work rate. He's that sort of midfielder that Clarko will love because he just does everything right for the team. He's really slow, though. That's the biggest issue. He's not a good sort of tracker on the ground. He is quite slow, and that's a big worry, I think. And I would have had him going to Richmond earlier, but I think as slow as our midfield already looks, it just wouldn't be a good fit for us, I reckon.
Fair enough. And who'd you have for North Melbourne at 8 after they've swapped it with St Kilda?
Yeah, Alec Tyroo. I think that's the guy that they're fantasising about. They don't want to take him at 2, but they want to drop back and take him. So they want to get another top 10 pick with that. And I think Tyroo can go forward, can go back. Incredible leap. Can take a good mark and kick a goal. Really competitive kid as well. And he's just going to be a star. Like, he's one of the players you can think he could be a 3-4-time All-Australian just because how consistent and how versatile he could be.
Now, pick 7 for Richmond, which was our pick 6.
It went Josh Smiley. I think he was the favourite for a long, long time until the Layla Finno Sullivan hype began. And I think he hasn't particularly fallen off. I think he's just players around him have exceeded their own expectations. So him not playing VFL, him not having those breakout sort of 3 goals, 26 disposal games. You can look at the numbers. He's still doing what he was doing to get himself that hype. So there's nothing really bad to say about him. He's just his speed as well. Like his burst, I say his burst speed is one of his explosiveness is one of the weaker parts of his game, but that can definitely be fixed. I think you look at Patrick Cripps and you think, yeah, that's what that kid could be like.
I've got something that can't be fixed and I need a bathrobe.
Yeah, you were very animated with that one, CB. You loved it.
Mate, we need 195 centimetre midfielder. We just need it. We need a ball. It's just common sense. That's all I'll say.
Look, yeah, exactly. Like, look, don't get me wrong. I love the meatball. And, you know, we've had some, you know, Hopper and Durano, they're serviceable players and stuff like that, but we need a bit of physical presence, like big physical priority. That's fantastic. Really exciting.
I didn't know this, but Cam was mentioning he's a Tiger supporter. I didn't realise that he was.
He had a Delidio poster on his wall.
Oh, everyone does.
You beat me.
So, Travis, so as Cam kind of mentioned before, it's not so much that he's done something wrong. It's probably more to do with the players above him having sort of overachieved on their own expectations that have kind of thrown them a bit higher up in the lights. And a lot of them played some VFL games as well. So that's probably, yeah, where some of that come down to by the sounds of it. Don't give us Ben Lennon references. Jesus Christ, Disco. We don't want to do that again. Pick number 6 for the D's.
Went Harry Armstrong. So I think that's as lock for a pick in this draft as there is. I think they're out for a key forward. Really good kick. 50, 55 metres, no problem. Good overhead. I think he's just going to be, again, just one of those safe lock picks. And I think it's the reason why Melbourne traded up. And not really much to say about him. I think he's just arrow straight kick. You think of what Darcy Fogarty brings, just really consistent key forward. He kicks it straight and just doesn't move. It's just really fluent kick.
He's the one I wanted, Cameron. That was the kid in particular that I wanted.
Yeah, yeah. I've had him mocked a few times and just don't know how he gets past Melbourne. So,
yeah. And that's what I mentioned on the podcast last week when people were asking about it. Like, they're going to want to pair him up with Van Rooyen. Like, they're going to be their pillars for Melbourne for the next decade if they draft him. So, yeah, I don't see how he gets past Melbourne.
Yeah. It would be good to get him, but similar to you, Cam, I can't see how we manufacture it unless we were to trade up somewhere along the line to get another pick inside that top 5. Who we got next? We got number 5. Pick number 5 for the Crows.
So I've gone Jagger Smith for the Crows. A lot of people think, I've got a hatred for Jago. Don't know why, but I think he's just not what we needed. And I think people just mistake that the wrong way. But Jago's a quick, good by foot, consistent ball-winning midfielder. I think that's sort of something Adelaide need. They need that quick presence in the midfield. Stilego now as well, Jagger. And I would really think Zach Taylor could be a part of that midfield going from next year. So I think that sort of sets a really nice dynamic midfield for them. You get those ball winners, you get those goal kickers, you get those two-way runners, you get speed, strength, size. So I think he complements a really good midfield.
Pick four, we've got Carlton.
So I'm going to say Draper. I think that might be a bit of a shock, but I think he's more suited to what they would want. And if they can get Finn O'Sullivan, I think that's the guy that they'd want. But Sid Draper, I think he's clean. He's a leader, professional, really, really quick, like incredibly quick, really good agility. I think he ran like a 7.8 in his agility testing last year or something like that. And you can sort of just see it. He's lightning quick. So I think that's just something Carlton are looking for, someone that can just take it out and go.
At the risk of this sounding like a stupid question, I assume that Adelaide are actually hoping that Sid slips to them. Is that what I'll be right in saying that, being a South Australian product? Okay.
That's so Carlton are gonna, number one.
So Carlton are going to piss off Adelaide as well, potentially, by doing this. If
it they pans can't out that get way. Foz, then it should be Sid from everything that I know.
All right. So Blues, plan A is Finn O'Sullivan. Plan B, you reckon Sid Draper?
Yeah.
Geez, that would the Adelaide Big Footy Board could be interesting if that plays out. That'd be very funny. So we've done the Blues, Carlton, Sid Draper. So pick number three, St Kilda. So just a reminder, guys, this St Kilda's got pick three because Cam's got them as trading with North Melbourne. So this is North Melbourne's actual current second pick, but we've got it here for St Kilda for the purpose of the mock draft.
Yep, so I've gone them taking Finn O'Sullivan. So I think he's everything they're crying out for in the middle. I think if he can bring that scoreboard impact, versatility, sort of his foot skills, his impact, I think, with his disposal is the best I've seen. You know, when he's got the ball, he can have 12 touches, but in that VFL game, he just had the impact. He kicks goals. He's a leader. I think you think of Isaac Heaney, to be honest. I think I've said that for a while. You think of what Isaac Heaney's been able to do, not have those high disposal games, but those impact games. And I think that's what sort of St Kilda have been crying out for a while.
So then pick two, we've got Brisbane with a bid pick.
Yeah, so I think this is quite boring, but Levi Ashcroft, I think we will, St Kilda will bid on him, or whoever has two will bid on him. I think he's just a casual sort of everything you see in a midfielder, hardworking, good with the ball, IQ, smart, and he just gets the ball. I think he's everything that you want in a mid. Like, there's no weaknesses in his game that I can really see. But, and it's just a shame that he's going to Brisbane, because I would have heavily considered him at one if he was a free range pick.
I'll tell you what, they've done extraordinarily well, Brisbane, to win a flag with a very good Ashcroft to then just nip themselves another one. But not to mention Marshall, who you said is a pretty good type as well. So that leaves pick number one for the Tigers. You have got as
Sam Lehler. So I think that's now the pick. Like, I think that's the one you can sort of book in now. I think you sort of just sort of understood the hype about him now, sort of that explosive mid to forward. He did have his injury problems early on, I'll admit that, and that's some of them are a bit of a worry, like soft tissue base, but his overhead marking, his scoreboard impact, his tackling power, explosion burst, he's just perfect, and I think he's the perfect face for what Richmond could be in the next 15 years.
So if you had to pick a player to compare him to, what kind of player type? I know people said Dussie, but...
Yeah, I'm going different. I go Petrarca, because I think he's just can go forward and he's much better in the air. He's more reliable in the air. And you can just, I think he will start up as a half forward. I don't think he will have, what should I say here, the sort of endurance to keep up with an AFL mid straight away. But I think within a year or even halfway through, he might start getting centre bounce minutes. But it could be someone who just keep it half forward for the rest of his career and would be someone that gets 15 touches, 16 touches, but kicks 5-2 goals a game. Like, his impact will be incredible.
Travis, he's currently listed as 188 centimetres. The last question I'll ask is, and the other gents can ask any questions they've got, how worrisome are the injuries that he's had, whether it was this year, last year? Is it a great concern? Is there an element of risk attached? I know there's elements of risk to every player, I suppose, but like, we don't want to obviously use the number one pick and then the player starts breaking down. What are your thoughts on the injuries that he's had over the journey?
Don't think they're anything to worry about. It's just sort of where he's had them is something you worry about. So it's sort of the quad, he's had his foot and his hip were some of the issues he's had throughout the last sort of 2 years. And then obviously he missed out in the granny through a pretty bad hamstring injury as well. So it's something to keep in the back of your mind, but I think he go the upside. And if, I think, yeah, he's sort of battled through them really, really hard. And it's been unlucky. Like, there's sort of been more contact-based injuries, but the hamstring and groin injuries were sort of long-term. So that hamstring injury kept him out for like 8 weeks. The groin kept him out at the start of pre-season. So there's sort of, I wouldn't say worry, but something to keep in the back of your head.
Fair enough. I'll open up to the rest of the floor. Grok, CB, EJ, thoughts on Lawler with one and then Smiley at six or seven?
With Lawler, the other thing I'll say is that, you know, people are, I like the comparison to Petrarca, not Dusty, because he's also defensively much more accountable. And as Cameron said in the thing, you know, he tackles with intent. He will make tackles. He will work both ways. The tank will take time, but that's the extra exciting thing about him. He's got all of the attacking attributes, but he's willing to work defensively.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I think there was a game he had with zero centre bounce attendance, and he still had like 6-7 tackles. So I think that just speaks him. His two-way running ability early.
I'm still more a Foss man than a Lawler man, but I'd be happy with either. But if I had pick one, I would take Foss over him, if I'm honest. But having said that, doesn't mean I'm not excited to get this young fellow either. So don't take that as a negative.
See, with Lawler though, if Louis the Butcher was still there, I'd go Foss. But because he's not there and Lawler's got his obviously he's had his injuries, yeah. Now that we've got hopefully a somewhat competent high performance manager, I'd be willing to take the punt on Lawler. Like, he's got the most upside of any player in the draft, besides, in my opinion, Taru. I think Taru has potential to be the best player in the draft. But like, Taru and Lawler are the two for me that are top tier. Like, talent-wise.
So now looking at, I know you did do second round as well. And I think it's worth noting as well, guys, that what does eventuate to be pick 26, which was the end of first round, and 27, the start of second round, there is obviously the very real possibility and maybe even probability that they will be traded on the night in live picks. Far too difficult to assume or guess what's going to happen there. So I think for the sake of mock drafts, you just assign players to it and whatever happens, happens. It's a mock draft for a reason, but there's a very live chance that they will get. I personally think 26 and 27 or whatever those two picks are, I think they'll be used in some kind of on trading for 2025. But with that said, just for argument's sake and out of interest, for the start of the second round, Cam, you had as our first pick being?
Jonty Fall.
Jonty Fall. So, yeah, that's the type of player we may be looking at if we were to actively use that pick, but it could also be traded. So,
love that pick.
Do you want me to
So are you saying at this point, Michaels, that we've got two picks in a row available?
Yeah, so 26, 27 would be the end of first and start of second.
Okay, so my question for Cameron then is I can see us trading one of those, but if Jonty 4 was available, do you think that we would take?
I think we could. I think there's no reason not to take him early as well. I think even with pick 21 or whatever that pick would be, 20, I think there's no risk in taking him. He will bring the effort day one. He'll be consistent. I think he's a bit raw, though. That's the thing. He took a while to get going early. But once he sort of broke out, that's when he was sort of unstoppable. And then he did have a bad game in the grand final, but I think that's a poor sort of sample size to go off, because they did get flogged, the whole team, and he never really had a chance to build himself into the game.
So I suppose here's the question, because the Tiger typewriter's point, the first pick of round two is always highly sought after because of players who slide. If Jonty's still there, do we entertain ideas and still trade it, or would you take Jonty being a key forward to develop and grow?
If you want to take the risk and see if he falls, and if he gets there, then you shouldn't trade the pick. I wouldn't trade the pick. I think if he's there, you take him.
100%. But if we can get a pick towards the back end of like next year's first rounder, for example, which isn't as strong, I'd definitely look at trading the pick. But I love Jonty. I've been on Jonty's bandwagon for 6 months now, as anyone on the Tiger Cast knows. So, yeah, if he's still there at the board, absolutely take him. Like, he will be our Rewalt replacement.
First time I've heard you talk about him, Grok. You just make the crap up.
Reese, I can answer this one really quickly. So Luke Traynor is down at pick 35 for St Kilda on this particular mock draft. So the other thing he did as well, Cam, is obviously there's a few names always up for selection for Richmond with our pick. So you actually went through and you listed what players you think could be hot on our radar for all those picks that we've got. So pick one, you have listed Lawler, Finn O'Sullivan and Jagger Smith as the three likely players that we would identify and take as pick one. Obviously with Lawler, you believing being number one. What is there anything that could happen between now and draft night that would swap it to Finn O'Sullivan or Jagger Smith?
Even if it's just a slight preference, even if you just sort of just think, okay, are we overthinking what Lawler can do that Foz can't? Because I don't think there's much that Foz can't do that. Yeah, I don't think there's anything different between them. I think Foz can replicate what Lawler does. But I just think, I'm trying to think. It's actually a really good question. I think just maybe interviews again, like how he prepares mentally. I think that would be big as well, because Lawler's had the sort of character of being a good leader. So if he doesn't possess those skills, I think that could shy away, but something incredible must happen, I think.
Now, a few people have asked questions or mentioned that it's a big slide for Traynor into the second round. Was he the player who's had concussion injuries? Yep. I think that you mentioned last week, Grok. Is that the basis of the sliding of the pick?
Yeah, absolutely. At one stage, Traynor was locked into North at pick two. That even a couple of weeks before the news came out about the concussions, and I think he's had two or three this year already, which isn't a great sign. And was advised to take the rest of the year off. So, yeah, I doubt he gets taken in the first 30 picks at this stage. I think clubs right now in a strong draft with the top 30 picks are all very likely types. I don't think they'd want to take a risk on a player that potentially may not be on the list in 3-4 years' time.
So for pick six, the names you had down here were Smiley, Langford, Armstrong, Murphy Reid and Taru. Obviously, you went for Smiley at that pick. Would you be so? I suppose Harry Armstrong is the other interesting one that a few people have mentioned. Would you be equally as comfortable if we took Armstrong, or is the general rule of thumb for these first couple of picks go your best available mids?
If Armstrong was at pick six and then whatever that turns to, I would be on board taking him straight away. No questions.
All right. So but if Melbourne pass think, on him, then you take him no matter what.
Yeah, which I think would be impossible. But yeah.
And then for pick 10, you had Trevilia, Murphy Reed and Xavier Lindsay, who I think was a little bit further down. Murphy Reed was probably one that piqued a lot of interest from people.
Yeah, I think he's just, again, I think we can target different sort of caliber of mids. I don't think things that Murphy Reed offers is anything unique. So I think he can find him in a year in a different draft. So I think could be a midfielder we look at next year or even through a trade. I don't think he's anything different to what we already have.
Now, a few people have also asked about, is it Sam Davidson from our VFL team? Open to the floor for anyone who may know the answer, but does anyone think he's going to get taken in national draft or is it going to be pre-season draft?
I think he's definitely a chance for the Nationals. I think there's no excuse for him not to be. I think he's had the campaign. He's had the good interviews. He's had the combine to back himself up. I think there's no excuse. And you've seen what Geelong have done with Sean Matter. And you think you sort of go that direction of VFL players. You guarantee yourself someone who's the level. I think there's, and he's younger as well. So there's no excuse, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, looking at it, Essendon could be in line for Davidson, obviously having lost Stringer as that player can go forward and push up the ground. So they're a watchful eye, and you just know that they love taking our VFL players. So, yeah, very, very strong chance that Essendon grab him. But, yeah, if he goes anywhere, to be probably in after 35, between 35 and 50.
Well, Essendon is effectively a VFL team, so yeah. You're quite right there, Grom.
Greg, to answer this one very quickly, Christian Morais, as I've said that correctly, on Cam's draft has gone pick 28 to the Bulldogs, so the second pick of the second round, if that makes sense. Well, that is. I appreciate you putting that all together, Cam. It's a mountain of work to go through, and obviously you've watched a hell of a lot of footy over the course of this year, and you've been super busy. So to recap the players you've got us going with anyone who's just joined, you've got number one, Sam Lawler. Pick 7, and remember, some of these are pushed out because of bid picks and whatnot. Pick 7, Josh Smiley. Pick 12, Toby Trevilia. Is it Trevilia? How do you say that? Trevilia. Pick 14, Joe Berry. Pick 21, Job Shanahan. Pick 23, Kyle Jerran. Pick 26, Lockie Jakes. And then if we still hold on to this next pick for the start of the second round, Richmond Jonty Fall. But like we said, some of those picks, particularly towards the end, can be traded live on the night. So, but for the sake of mock drafts, you just assign a player to it and, yeah, whatever happens, happens. So, yeah, I can definitely speak to Cam if he's happy for me to. I can even retype the list of our particular players and post it up somewhere if people want to see it. But, yeah, some really awesome notes there, mate, and I hope they do come to light.
Oh, I would dream of that sort of draft. I think that would be best case scenario for me anyway. I think we will go a bolter, with one of our picks. I just couldn't pick a name. Like, we'll go someone who's in the range of 40, 50 with one of our early seconds or one of the late firsts. I think that's something that we'll look to do, sort of what we did with the same Sam Banks pick. We went sort of a stretch. And that's, yeah, I was just trying to think of a name. Like Phoenix Hargraves, maybe a Thomas Sims and Angus Clark, Bailey McKenzie, a few of those names, maybe as well.
Yeah, so
Brian Cullen's just raised a name that you and I have talked about, Cameron. Jesse Dottoli, he's another one that's on our radar.
He would be my second favorite player in this crop. He's incredible.
So you've got him as pick 33 to Freo.
I just don't see a need for him, which sucks.
Yeah.
Now, the other question a few people have raised is on the assumption that we take Lawler and Smiley in particular with our first two picks, does that slow our midfield down or does it improve our midfield speed-wise? Because we've already got Hopper, Taranto, who obviously aren't lightning quick, Prestia as well. Do we end up being slower than what we already are or too slow or will any of them have... I suppose some much needed pace that we can put through there. Granted, they probably may not play a lot of midfield minutes in their first year or two anyway.
Yeah, basically where I was going to go, I don't think Lawler plays mid straight away. I don't think he will get that time. So I think we will run with the same Toronto Hopper sort of midfield combination that we've sort of seen throughout the year. So nothing will change, but I think more through stoppages is when you sort of see us sort of experiment.
What about what do you see for McAuliffe then next year, his development?
I think he still will get the games. I think he's just now knows that there's pressure on him to perform. Like, simple as that. He's got elite talent around him now, so he's got to sort of take that step, sort of step up that you would want to see in him.
Yeah, this preseason for McAuliffe is all about building that endurance, building that tank bit to be able to run games out. That was his biggest thing coming into this season.
Yeah. Well, I'm the president of the Kane McAuliffe Appreciation Society, and I've got a lot of faith in the lad.
Your boy.
It's my boy. He's mine. I'm taking him.
It's all taking him. And the final question, Cam, I know you've got to run because you do have a young one as well at home. Of the players that you've listed, would you be comfortable or confident in saying that most of them would play? I mean, obviously we're down the bottom for a reason, but would you be happy enough to expose them to the rigors of AFL football from the get-go? Is there anyone that you wouldn't want playing as many games as others?
In the pick 24 sort of section, I do have Harry O'Farrell and Noah Meraz, and I wouldn't expose them straight away. I think they're still quite raw. O'Farrell's sort of not had the year he's sort of been looking for. I think he was cinted as that top tier defender and just sort of dropped away. So I think he would need to get a couple of VFL games under his belt. But from what I see on that list, everyone else, I think I'd be happy to.
And what about our particular players? You'd be happy for Lawler and Smiley to play from round one if they have to?
There's no reason to. I think Lawler could break out against Carlton. Like, I think that he's set for those sort of games, like those big crowds. You'll love it. And I think that would be a perfect game for him to sort of thrive in.
Onto the negatives, Cam. Yeah. Have you heard anything on the other side? So where does a guy like K-Mac stand or... Dow, where do those boys stand now, given what you're drafting?
If we take every pick, I think both of them will have to go due to list spots. I think that's sort of where we're sort of heading towards, but I'd love to keep K-Mac. I think he offers that sort of leadership sort of thing that we need now, sort of thing that you sort of see North Melbourne are doing now, sort of bringing in experience. I think we already have that now, so why get rid of it and then do it 3 years later?
I think you would find all of us agree with that. I'd be keeping K-Mac as well. I'm actually kind of a little bit disappointed that we've not yet offered him something, that we're leaving him hanging. I just can't help but feel it's a touch disrespectful.
There is a one-year deal on the table, by the way.
Is there? Okay.
Yeah.
EJ's thumbing his fist.
It's just now that we're just waiting to see how many picks we do take.
Oh, fair dinkum. He's on 191. I'm as much chance to get down if K-Mac gets to 200 as I was getting Dusty to get into 300. Oh, mate, I'll shout the beers. Let's get down there for the 200.
Nice.
And also on other news, my boy Jake the Snake Arts is on the move apparently from Germana. There's some big movement there in the local footy scene. So. Just be warned about my boy Jake.
He's back.
But before we go, obviously, I was asked last week, I was bombarded with comments, do a top 10, do a top 10, do a top 10. So I finally sat down on the weekend and I've done my top 10. Do you mind if I share that and get Cameron's thoughts on it?
Yeah, go for it.
Because I swear 7 or 8 of the picks are identical to what he's got. So obviously pick one, Lawler. I mean, we've already discussed it. 2, Brisbane, Ashcroft is, you know, a given. I've got North taking O'Sullivan. As you mentioned, he's the type that North currently like. I will preface this. This is no trade. So in an ideal scenario, everyone takes the picks that they have now. So pick 3, North, O'Sullivan. I think he just offers a different dimension. They don't need Smiley or anything like that because they've got LDU. They don't need Jagger because they got Sheasel. So O'Sullivan's probably the perfect fit. I'm with Cameron on Sid Draper to Carlton. I think that's just a fantastic fit for them based on their list profile and the players that they lost. Obviously, Kennedy, having Draper come in is a nice little check on that. I've got Jagger Smith again to Adelaide. That they need an accumulator. Matt Crouch is getting injured, so having someone who can find the ball. Armstrong to Melbourne at six. I think that's just... Yeah, I know that pained me to put it. I think that's just real common sense. I've got Harvey Langford to us at seven. Yeah. I think that's the only one that's really different. I've got Murphy Reid to Saints at eight and Taru to St Kilda at nine and Lombard at 10 with the bid.
It's a lot of similar names there.
Yeah.
Good take there, to be honest. I think as similar as it gets, I think if North Melbourne get those Saints picks, I think it'll be the exact sort of similar way. So, yeah, nothing too different.
So would you see Smiley getting to us after 10, Grock?
I don't think we'd take Smiley. I really don't.
Ooh, that's twice you've annoyed me now.
No, I don't see it.
But yeah, but Langford would be no issues with Langford either.
Very good. Oh, Cameron, thank you so much, mate, for jumping on and going through that. Are you comfortable if I screenshot the list you sent through and put it up on the socials? Everyone have a look at?
Yeah, no worries. Go for it. I'll drop the full rounds hopefully by the weekend. So
yeah, you had me real nervous that you're going to post that before the show.
I was waiting.
Yeah, nice. So, so Cam's going to release his full 50 in the coming days. So make sure you keep an eye 60. Out for that. The full lot. You're on the full way.
Yeah, so I'm going to go to the mid-70s at this rate. So
yeah, nice.
There's a question in the draft from Widescreen TV. Would Adelaide trade back if Carlton get Draper?
Carlton.
No, I don't think so. I think they need a top tier mid, and I don't think they get anything different if they trade back.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's a reason for them to, unless that there's someone else that they obviously really like, but don't see that reason.
All right, well, there we go. Thank you again, Cam. Much appreciated, mate. Very, very good and thorough research. And yeah, it'd be fascinating to see how it plays out on draft night. So, and there's every chance a few of these might swap around even before that even rolls around, just with the nature of the way things are, I guess. But no, that was good. Feel free, if you want to hang around and talk about the new fitness guy, feel free. But I do understand if you've got to jump off as well, that's okay too.
You can always just stay, but yeah, I wouldn't know a thing about him, to be honest. Like I said, he's come from Geelong and they've had a pretty good run and fully on board with him. So hopefully he does much better than what we've seen, so...
And take away
the bloody camel as well.
Yeah, the camel's not coming back. I don't think that'll reappear at all next year. So
can the camel?
Yeah, can get rid of it. So thanks heaps again, mate. Much appreciated.
No worries. Thank you.
And yeah, we'll keep an eye on. I'll post some screenshots of it after, and we'll see what eventuates.
Thanks, Cam.
See you, boys.
See you, mate.
Can I just on the new fitness guy?
Yep.
In his biography, his research career has focused heavily on sports injury prevention, particularly ACL and hamstring injury.
He's come to the right club.
Absolutely.
He will be gainfully employed.
Tick. So Ben Serpell is his name. So from Geelong, and has had background in other, I suppose, industries as well, led to believe. But I don't know a hell of a lot about him, but a lot of people seem very happy with the signing. So hopefully all things go very well.
Can I just say again, with the off-field, we've had a pretty disrupted off-field the last 2-3 years, a lot of change. We've made some very, very good decisions off the field so far with appointments and things. So it gives me confidence that we are heading in the right direction, to be honest.
Absolutely. So with thank you again to Cam for sharing all that information as well. Always good to get some eyes who are in the game on what players we may or may not take. And I suppose the top 10 names are names we've all sort of heard and shared and spoken about, but it's the order that makes it interesting. Was there any surprises from that lot from any of you, or would we all be comfortable with if those picks eventuate?
Oh, I thought we may trade up. I can see the positives and negatives of both arguments. You know, to be able to pick the two midfielders we want is the sacrifice worth that, pairing the two you want together? But, you know, then what you're doing is you're losing another pick in that top 15. So swings and roundabouts. I'll be interested to see which way it goes.
It sounds like from all the stuff Blair Hartley has said, that it would take North Melbourne, for example, to be paying way over his fuss to even entertain it, just with how even it is.
Yeah. I mean, North aren't budging on wanting pick six from us if we give them pick two. Because at that point, they'll take Taru. They really want Taru. Langford and Taru are their two targets. And we don't want to give up six, because there's obviously there'll be a potential slider in someone like Draper or Jagger or even Armstrong, who may be there. So we really don't want to give up six. That's the sticking point for us in trading for pick two, is we do not want to give up pick six.
No, that's very good to hear. I wouldn't want to either. I think we're much better off going in with what we've got. All I think that will happen is I think the last two picks we might trade for futures, potentially, depending on who's available.
Yeah, and look, I don't profess to know as much as Grok or Cameron, but whatever we take with pick six. You said Langford, didn't you?
Yep.
He's pretty physical. Decent size.
Yep.
Yeah. As long as it's not another bloody midget, I'll be happy.
Yeah. No. Langford, he's got a lot of tools. He's great overhead. He's a great kick and hit the scoreboard. Can go through the middle. The only thing, as Cameron said, is he is slow for a midfielder. He ran a 3.23 in the 20-meter sprint, which is like ruckman, like lumbering ruckman levels. So like, yeah, that was the biggest, yeah.
Okay, on that point, he said that unless there's something that really stands out, that the combine doesn't have that much of an impact. If that test is that slow, could that be a reason to see a decent slide, because it's a test in such a negative fashion?
Hmm.
Yeah, it could be. But again, I think he's got like the weapons that he has sort of overcome that. Like, yes, he may be slow, but like he's pretty good in contest with his overhead marking. So like if he's playing as a forward on the lead, like defenders might catch him, but he's got a decent jump on him, can take it overhead. So it's not really detrimental. It's when he pushes into the midfield that's where he might get caught. So I don't see Langford being a full-time midfielder. I think he's probably going to be that sort of wingman slash half forward, like starting on the wing, pushing forward, taking a mark, sort of like Isaac Heaney does for Sydney. Not comparing him to Heaney, but just that role that Heaney plays.
Deck had a quick question up here. If we get to pick six and Jagger and Armstrong are both available, who is everyone taking?
Armstrong. No doubt about it. The best contested mark in the draft.
It's not even a question to me.
It's not a question. It's a statement.
Yeah. Lawler and Armstrong will do much more for us than Lawler and Jagger.
Bingo.
So we need to somehow get it. Yeah. You'd love Melbourne to pass on him, but I agree. I can't see how they pass on Armstrong. Yeah. Can't see how that happens. But anyway, I think, has anyone got anything else to add or any questions to ask? No? Well, I think it's just now the waiting game until draft night rolls around. So I believe it's the 20th of November, Wednesday, 20th of November. So we'll do a draft night watch along as well for anyone who's keen to cheer and celebrate the draft picks we take. And I just, like I've said all along, I feel like whoever we take at pick one is going to divide a fair few people, just with how even it is. So we don't have that Harley Reid standout at all this year. So I think there's a lot more a lot more up in the air than we have seen previously, CB.
RFC's just put the question up, and I think Cameron addressed it.
Yeah.
If we don't take all our picks, there is a one-year deal on the table for K-Mac.
Yeah, and K-Mac needs to stay, in my opinion, just for a pure – I posted this on the board. Purely from a cultural perspective, we've lost, 2,150 games of experience over the last 2 years in trades and retirements. So we need a bloke with experience. But more importantly, K-Mac is a heart and soul of the club culture type player. Like, he's the one that does everything. And we've already lost two in Baker and Graham in that regard as the heart and soul sort of ultimate clubman. We can't afford to lose K-Mac. We've got a bunch of young kids coming in.
Who else is going to import e-scooters and
from Temu and stuff?
Tables and
Who else is going to do all the DIY stuff at the players' houses?
So, and keep in mind too, in regards to Cameron, he puts this list out there. We need to take him 100% his word. And if he gets any pick wrong, I want people to DM this guy and smash him. Having just like Tiggs, mate. He's put it out there. We've got to hold him to account for every pick from 1 to 75. If he gets one wrong, write him off.
Spare a thought for Dan. He's writing his exercise bike. Spare a thought for Dan. He's riding his exercise bike for the duration of the show. So sorry, Dan. Now, the other thing I would do want to say quickly before we wrap up is I want to thank all of our YouTube subscribers. We have officially ticked over 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is a monster effort. So I know there's a bit of a late push today / tonight to get it over the line, but super effort. We can't thank you enough for the love and support on all platforms, but hitting a milestone like that is pretty special. So thank you to everybody who subbed on YouTube. And hopefully we can keep pushing on onto the next milestone. So a massive shout out to everyone. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, that is a wrap for tonight. Thank you again to Cam for jumping on and doing the mock draft. I'll take a screen grab. We'll post it up. I want a screen grab of EJ's background as well, because that's very worthy of a tweet and a post. That's very good. But now the wait's on to the 20th of November. We'll do a live draft show, like I said, a bit of a watch along, and we'll see what transpires from there. So, Grok, CB, EJ, thank you so much for joining me tonight. And again, another thank you to Cameron for jumping on with the mock draft. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. Thank you again to the YouTube subscribers and Facebook followers and wherever else we are. And we will see you on the 20th of November. Until then, go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Love all you people out there. Keep watching. Thank you.